Scott, present.
Karen Ward, present.
Jim Martinez, present.
And Ken Mullenix, present.
Pick somebody out of the audience. Jimmy, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Jim.
You're welcome.
Are there any added agenda items at this time?
I have one, Mr. Mayor. In the consent agenda, we're going to add the second payout to Tornado Soft Excavation for their work on the Lookie Uplift Station.
Okay. Are there any others?
No others.
Thank you. I will proceed to the consent agenda.
And Mr. Mayor, I need to state a conflict of interest with invoices to what we discovered and remove myself to discuss.
Thank you very much. Any further? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve the consent agenda?
I so move.
Moved?
Second.
And second? Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
It is unanimous with one abstention. And at this time, we'll go to item number six, which is public comment. And, yes.
Hey, Mr. Mayor, make sure they all know Rick Allen and I'm on the phone.
I'd like everybody to know that Rick Allen is on the phone.
Thanks, Rick.
Trustee Lehman, Karen.
Council members, my name is Tanya Karlowitz, and I just wanted to bring to your attention something that we're going to do at Lapine High School this year, a brand new event that hopefully we can grow and make it a collaborative event with all of the schools, and we really want to invite the community to participate with us. So we're going to do a back-to-school rally, and so what that is we're inviting community members to come to the school campus on the morning of the first day of school when all grades are present, which will be Thursday, September 8th. And we're asking that people bring homemade signs, noisemakers, anything you can think of, and just show up and support our students. Let them know that what they're doing is important. We really need to build the bond between our schools, which can be the centerpieces of our community and our community members. So I'm just asking that as many people attend that as possible and let our kids know that they're supported.
Thank you very much, Tonya, and I think it's a great idea.
What time was that again?
It's 6:45 to 7:30 in the morning. And I do have some flyers here, so I can leave them back here at the table.
Tonya, please, thank you. Okay. Put them there on the table, and the council has flyers already.
Okay,
and And people will have an opportunity to take one when they do.
Okay, and if anybody needs any more, I can send them out.
Would you also give us your address, please, for the record?
My home address?
Home address.
55949 Wood Gap Drive.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Are there any further public comment? Hearing none, we'll go to item number 7. ODOT. Cooperative Improvement Agreement for Sun River Interchange OR31 Downtown Pine Wayside Streetscape and Transit Center Project. At this time, I'll open the public hearing and ask the staff for their report.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. In your agenda packets, you have the project information sheet, which is this. This is also on that back table out there for those in the audience. You also have a regional map of the Cascade East Transit, CET transit map, showing how the region is connected with their services. And then finally, you have a copy of the draft cooperative, final draft cooperative improvement agreement, which is between the city and ODOT, as well as the county in there. And this is the draft that we've talked about at a work session previously with Gary Barnesworth, the ODOT Region 4 manager, area manager, excuse me. And so what I'd like to hit on real quick is that, just so everyone in the audience knows, this has been a project long in the making, going back many years with a grant application to the state for funds to put a streetscape, which is what you see in front of City Hall and what you see up at First Street, the 8-foot sidewalks, a bioswale for drainage, street trees, street lights, along the highway in what's referred to as the downtown corridor of Lapine. That's between First Street and 6th Street here. This project encompasses other things as well, pavement preservation, repaving from Sun River to the 31 interchange. It includes the streetscape elements in downtown Lapine from 1st to 6th. And then it also includes a transit center, which would be located at 4th Street. There's a vacant property there with Highway 97 on one side, 4th Street to the south, and Huntington on its west side. So those are the three components of this project and of this agreement. It's slated to be bid in 2017 with construction in 2018. So this is a couple years out. These large projects with many partners, they take a handful of years or more to come to fruition. So I'm not gonna take too much time going into all the details. I think what I'd rather do, since this is a ODOT project with the city as a partner, of course, I'd like to turn it over to Gary Farnsworth, invite him up to the microphone and allow him to, and also David Brown with ODOT, to share a little bit more about this project.
Thank you.
It's on. Again, Gary Farnsworth, the area manager for ODOT Region 4 up in Bend. And also just want to acknowledge Region Manager Bob Bryant is here today, and we've got a contingent of folks from ODOT also joining us because we're excited and very supportive of how this project is progressing. So there's a lot of interest. We're excited about it and want to take part. I also asked the Region 4 right-of-way manager, driver survey manager, to join us, David Brown, because I'm anticipating there may be some specific questions for David as it relates to the agreement and to the project, not only from council, but perhaps as you take some comment from the public. So okay. David is here to join us. Also just acknowledge David was pretty instrumental in coming up with the question about opportunity for the transit site. So we can fill you in with lots of background if we need to. I don't have a lot more to add than from what Corey has suggested, other than we have worked through the draft agreement. I was here in a work session last month to look at a draft that I believe had gotten some review from attorney, from counsel here. And since that time, we've had our Department of Justice attorneys look at the agreement, and they have essentially endorsed what we shared with you back at that work session. So from that standpoint, there still may be and likely will be some loose ends that we need to address in the agreement. But my hope today, and I believe with Corey as well, is that we can get to the point where we can find a way to get authorization from council to mayor and your attorney to sign the final version. If things go according to plan. So that's it for me. Corey, did you want me to cover any other territory?
I think it might be useful to discuss how the transit center sort of came into this agreement and the process, who we spoke with regionally, whether ODOT or the City of Lapine, or we have some representatives from Central Oregon Intergovernmental Council in the audience. They are the entity that runs the Cascades Transit, the Central Oregon transit system. And so there was collaboration and coordination over the last few months between those entities looking at, you know, because you could look back farther into planning documents with the city that say it's desired to have a downtown transit location. Where that is exactly hadn't been determined. These planning documents take sometimes decades to come to fruition. However, you know, in conjunction with this project, there was an opportunity to bring this into the project, and it was talked amongst the city and COIC and ODOT, and it was identified that that location actually is right in the middle of where the transportation system plan identified, and it would serve the CET system very well. And some of the components of that, because this agreement does not determine what that transit center will look like. What it does is it plants the seed for that transit center in the future. Some of the elements we know it will have would be a park and ride. It would have access from CET coming to pick folks up to go to Bend or other areas of Central Oregon. It would have parking for downtown businesses. It may have green space for citizens or tourists to enjoy. None of that's being determined tonight. That would go through a planning process years down the road. So I just thought that was an important wrinkle of this to keep in mind.
It is, and thanks for acknowledging that we have folks from COIC here tonight to show that support, because we've turned it into a bit of a regional conversation. Mayor, you're on the COIC board.
Yes.
And who manages Cascades Transit, and we had a resounding show of support from them, from the local economic development folks as well. So that sort of support has been strong, with an understanding that yes, we do have an opportunity with the project. And the marriage to the project is, as we're looking at the need to address right-of-way issues and access along the highway for the streetscape project, our right-of-way folks like David and his staff, Terry Pistoli is also here tonight, he's been doing a lot of work with the property owners for the streetscape project. We started recognizing that, hey, we need to run streetscape through here, but there's a vacant lot sitting right there. And we know there's a lot of interest in continuing to expand community connectors for transit through the region. And looks like a great opportunity. And that led to us doing some initial evaluation with all the right stakeholders in Central Oregon who would have interest in that. Not to mention council as well and staff or here from the community to see if it made sense. So as we've done that homework, and a lot of that's covered in the packet, the answer was yes, this makes a lot of sense. It allows us to essentially enter into that first phase where he talks about, yeah, we don't have a site plan developed, but we do have an opportunity to tie it to the project, because we have opportunity with the project to actually improve bicycle and pedestrian connectivity, including improvements we may be able to include along 4th Street, as well as initial transit stop and perhaps some access along the way with that property. And it will spur us into next steps as well. And this is not unusual. I guess I would look to David. There are often times when we are in a project where we see an opportunity with the property and what we can acquire to make it work. In this case, the commitment is that we will do this for a transportation purpose is being endorsed from a regional perspective and hopefully from a community perspective. So I think that was what you were.
Thanks, Gary.
Okay. David, anything?
No, I just echo what Gary says. I believe that the ODOT I attended some regional solution meetings, and there was a request that by the transit folks for some help in identifying places where they may place facilities in their planning for the region. And you know, as we worked through this project, it was an obvious location for that. And it also addressed several project issues, such as parking that were being affected by this project. So it seemed like a good logical choice.
Okay. All right. Anything else, Stan?
I think probably what will best serve everyone is if we open it up to public comments and try to address some questions or concerns that maybe those in the audience have.
Sure. Would you like us to stay muted for?
I'm trying to think of the best way to do this. The answer is yes, of course. I don't. Maybe. Can they make a public comment from the audience, or
I'd like to see us do is make it available, the microphone. So maybe if you want to join your boss back at the back of the room. We'll invite the others who have signed up to make comments up to the table where they'll have a
question. Okay, and then we'll play it by ear as far as
yes.
how to respond.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. Thank you. I have a list of those of you who have signed up, and we'll go along this list. The first person is Diane Willis. Diane, if you'd give us your address for the record, please.
52293 National Road, Lapine.
Okay.
So, I am here. I have this property listed that they're identifying as a transit station proposal. I am also here with the owner of that property because he is concerned about how this process has come about. We have had that property listed, and 3 months ago we received an offer on it. We've been in negotiations, and we accepted an offer on this property. I called Corey last week on Wednesday and notified him that, or I think it was Thursday, I talked to you, notified him that we had an accepted offer, and he told me I should call David Brown at ODOT. I did. Or he was actually calling me right when I hung up with Corey. So we talked, and I told him that we had an accepted offer. And he said, well, we're moving forward. We are going to be proposing this to the city council on Wednesday night. I should be here. My co-broker, Clay Drowning, who is representing the buyer, is also here. We have been in communication with Rick Allen. About 3 months ago, we started this process. So we were calling them and David Brown and ODOT quite a bit to find out what ODOT and the city were going to require around that property for the buyer's development. I told them at that time we had an offer, and I thought they handled it very unprofessionally. They told the buyer, you know, just give it up. This is a done deal. We're going to be acquiring this property. This was not done in a correct manner. When somebody's calling ODOT or the city and asking information how they can come in and invest in Lapine and improve our community with two retail stores in that parcel, and then be told, oh, we already have a plan for that. What's the seller's rate in this? You know, and he even told me they would, if you approve this proposal, they will go to acquisition on this property. If the seller does not agree to sell it, they will go to eminent domain. What message is that sending businesses that want to move into Lapine? Is that the community that we have? Are we friendly here, or are we going to take what we want? Does the seller have no rights? Those are my comments.
Okay. Thank you very much. And now, Clyde Browning. Mr. Browning, would you give us your address for the record, please?
Yes. 18160 Cottonwood Road, number 396 Center.
Thank you.
Well, I'm here at the request of my clients who are the buyers and who made the offer. And it is in escrow, and they feel they're in contract. Well, they know they're in contract. And but they asked me, by the way, they are Katz Kirkpatrick Properties out of Roseville, California. They are a development leasing company. They've built and managed, it's just under 50 strip malls or small malls in California. This is their first venture into Oregon. They contacted me several months ago, and out of that came this Diane said, an offer which was accepted by the seller, and it's in escrow, the First American Title. Since they feel they're in a solid contract, they are willing to sell approximately 35,000 square feet of it, or all of it, the total acreage there. And if they, if the city here and ODOT is interested in, if they could do their project for the transit center on 35,000 square feet, which is half of the acreage, they would still like to build their and develop their building, which would be, what they do is it would be retail, and they bring in brand names of quality leases. So they asked me to pass that on to you folks tonight, and again, it would be nice for you to look at their website under CATS, starts with a K, Kilpatrick Properties. They have a great website. It shows probably 25 or 30 of their properties that they've developed in Roseville, California. So they are very experienced, and they would bring a quality building to the department. And that's basically their message tonight. And I appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Browning. What we're doing is, and it's holding very close to it, is allowing public comment, because there's quite a few, at 3 minutes. So Linda Johnson.
Linda Johnson, 51322 Preble Way. I am a citizen, or a resident of the city of Lapine, and very proud of it. I'm also proud of every one of you. You dedicated a lot of your time in your life to bringing Lapine to what it is today, and I have a lot of respect for all of you. I also have respect for everyone in this room because they truly care about what happens here in Lapine, and a lot of you are volunteers for all these committees, and I'm behind you 100%, and I know you all agree with me. ODOT has been wonderful to work with. They come down, they take their time to come to Little Lapine, they're doing all this beautification with us. We are so lucky and proud of all of you and very grateful. But I am very disheartened in how this has come down. And if I have an email, for some reason I did not have internet access today, so I just want to touch some things that have really bothered me. I feel that this was not handled in a business-friendly way. We've come a long way from those early days where we were not business-friendly or open to new opportunities and businesses. And I know we don't want to go backwards. So I think we need a little bit better communication. I also want to know if you really think that a parking lot and a transit mall is in the highest and best interest of that property that fronts 97, when there are multiple other properties for sale right now that could easily do parking and a beautiful transit mall and a green space and all the things that you want to accomplish. I think that's about it. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Linda. And Molly Baker-Ray.
Good evening. I'm Molly Baker Ray. I live at 17535 Holgate Court. I live outside the city limits. However, I am a member of the Regional Public Transit.
Molly, would you speak into the microphone, pull it a little closer?
This is like.
No, pull the speaker to you. There you go.
Okay.
For the people in the back.
I am a member of the Regional Public Transit Advisory Committee. I also am a long-term bus rider, and I ride CET. Right now, I'm currently only working half-time, but when I work full-time, I rode the bus every day that I could. And I find that with the conditions of the roads and the traffic that has changed just so much, that the transit is absolutely important to have in this area, especially when we're getting the St. Charles. I know you're working to get the industrial park moving again, get some more businesses in there. OSU is we have a lot of students that want to go to OSU and don't have the money, don't have the vehicle, don't want to spend the money that it takes to drive every day. Monday, it took me an hour and a half just to get through the construction zone down in 197. That's insane. I mean, you could sit in the bus and play solitaire, where if you're driving, you're just going to get annoyed. We need to improve our transportation to and from between Bend and Lapine, because Bend is overflowing. They're moving here. We need to offer this availability to people that are going to look at Lapine as we grow and get better all the time. And it will also help with the road conditions and the traffic, the intersections we have a lot of trouble with. If we get more cars off road and put people on mass transit.
Okay.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mom. And Rachel.
Should I state my address?
Please.
51497 Highway 97, and I'm here to represent Quick Stop Market. But more importantly, the reason why I'm here is because I actually wanted to talk a little bit about the insights that I've been able to sort of get from my customers, basically, over the last year. So I'm from New York City, and over the last year, I've been, you know, getting to know the community members here, and especially folks who are low income and living in trailer parks, you know, all around here. And things that I've been hearing consistently is that for folks who don't have access to cars, vehicles, for them to take the shuttle bus here to Wiki Up, that's been very inconvenient. And so when I heard about this, the transit, you know, center, aside from the business aspect of it, I thought this is a wonderful idea, and I'm very, very much supportive of this important access for people, especially low-income folks who have shared with me as a customer, you know, especially in the winter time when it's cold, you know, to spend $1.50 taking the shuttle bus to Wiki Up and then going to Bend or wherever else, that they, you know, were really supportive, but obviously, you know, they couldn't be here. So I wanted to sort of express that, not just as a business owner, but also because I care about it, because I've grown to know and, you know, build relationship with our customers, and you know, every time I, you know, at least the last couple of weeks when I've been sharing this with some folks, they were really excited. In fact, even people with cars, they said because of the health issue, they can't drive, so it'd be very convenient for them to just walk over here instead of going one end of the town or the other end to just to take a bus to Bend. So I know I can talk about how important it is for our business to have a transit center, but I think I really wanted to express our customers sort of where they're coming from, because I don't think they're not the ones here at the table talking about this. So just want to share that, and I'm in the spirit of it. And I agree with the earlier lady who expressed how, you know, great ODOT has been, and I think I was a bit hesitant, but I think over a number of months, I could see how, you know, they're very overextending how much they care about the city and what they want to do and how collaborative they are. So at least that's been my experience. So I want to express that too. So thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. That is the end of the list of those who have signed up. Is there any further comment? Hearing none, I will close the public hearing, and the council will deliberate. Staff, do you have anything you want to add?
No, I think that was all very informative and paints the picture of where we're at and where we have the possibility of going. If council has questions, maybe for any of ODOT staff specifically or for myself, I think, you know, this would naturally be a time for that. So I'm going to turn it over to all of
you. All right. Thank you.
You want to start us off, Stu?
Well, yes, I think if our ODOT partners could come back up. Because Mike, I'll wait here a second. Let me get settled in.
I think I know what I mean.
The biggest concern I've heard so far is the legal aspect. So I think I've heard a concern about it's been on the market, someone made an offer, it's in the process. Can you shed some light on, is that the correct process? Is this really happening, or address those concerns?
Well, I'll frame it up a little bit first, and David can certainly help with some of those specifics. And that is just going back to how we got here. We have been pretty deliberate as the idea has unfolded into you know, what could become a reality as a part of the project. This is unusual that this sort of thing can happen. And we've been very deliberate about clarity on purpose and need and community, relative community value and regional value, right, as being front and center in order to consider making the transit piece a part of the project, right? So we are talking about transportation dollars, state, federal transportation dollars coming into the mix to make it part of the project, including the cost of the acquisition. So from the ODOT, at least from my perspective, we are making it one and the same. So once we are doing that, then we treat it like so many of the other projects we do, often in partnership with communities, and the cities and counties go through the same thing as well, that we are, what's in this agreement for the project says it is one, right? It is a transportation project with transportation dollars. We have to follow state and federal rules and laws on how we process through acquisitions. And we have been very deliberate about keeping this in front of council and intercession and with other stakeholders and, of course, with the public input as well. And I'll let David go ahead and pick it up from there.
Yeah, you know, so my office was tasked with making sure that all the interested parties were notified that we were having a public meeting tonight and what the issues were going to be. So that was the impetus for the calls.
Dave,
yes.
Could you speak closer in there? So
yes.
The back broke in here.
So we did make telephone calls to all the property owners, and when we found out the property in question had a seller and a realtor and a buyer, we attempted to call them and wanted to make sure that they knew about the meeting, make sure that we felt it was necessary they'd be here to talk about their interests. In that conversation, we talked about what the process would be as far as if we do acquire the property. So if it does get added to the project, what happens? And we do make an offer to whoever owns the property, right? And we pay just compensation, which is based on a market appraisal of the property. And we attempt to come to a settlement with that property owner. in the acquisition of that property. If that didn't happen, the last ditch effort would be to go to court to acquire it. But that's the process we have to be successful on. So, and we try, and we're very successful at avoiding condemnation in almost all cases.
Okay.
Thank you.
Kevin?
No, that was basically my question. Has everything been covered and everyone notified that is within the action that's going on? They also mentioned other properties, and I'm not sure what that may be or if you've looked into anything like that.
And to clarify too, when we've been communicating with all the property owners since we started into the project and started addressing the access questions and the streetscape design, and continue that dialogue as we started to, the first time we came to council, Councilor Martinez was concerned that we do some diligence around getting some input. And one of them, after that meeting, we wanted to be sure we were communicating to the property owner the transit site that we had something that we were working towards, so that there was some awareness and understanding that was occurring. At least that was my memory of it, Dave, as we did make
absolutely
contact once we knew that there was interest in pursuing the proposal.
That contact happened months ago, actually, the first contact.
Okay. Okay. Carol?
First of all, I want to say that unfortunately is a perfect location. The reason why I say that is because we have a lot of seniors that walk all over town. So when they go someplace to catch a bus, it needs to be close enough for them to get to without a lot of extra effort. And when I say extra effort, I don't mean when it's 70 degrees outdoors. I mean when it's down in the 30s and they're walking in the snow. So the area that we're talking about is perfect. But my question is if the property was sold and it is in escrow, I don't understand how you think you can come in and take it. I mean, it's just a question in my mind. There's got to be a lot of working together to make it come together.
Right.
I was just in Newport and Lincoln City up the coast, and I saw the perfect transit station with a bathroom for a man and a woman and the whole parking lot. Beautiful shrubbery, places to sit, to wait to catch the bus. So I am fully in agreement that we need this kind of thing. I'm just not sure that we should step on the little people to get there.
So, ma'am, I would say that that's what we're here tonight for, is the proposal is there a public need for this facility? And if that is the decision, then the property will be purchased based on that need. And the owner will be treated with respect and will be paid the just compensation, the market value of the property, based on an appraisal report and through negotiation with ODOT. And I guess I don't feel like it's stepping on the owner. It's making a decision that property needs to be used for the public purpose that you've stated is important.
Is the property big enough to share in the fact that you could put a little shopping area in it too, which would add to it totally, and still have your transit station?
So I'm going to defer a little bit here. I know Rick Allen is on the phone and Corey, and you know, we've been talking about, and also with Cascades East and others, about what the potential is. Corey was clear up front that we do not have a site plan. And we have shared a lot of ideas about how the property can be set up, including whether or not there would be opportunity for a commercial component. We are not clear on how much of the property we need at this point. So those are some unknowns that we would want to flesh through, and including, Dave, I don't want to put words in David's mouth, but when we look at the amount that's needed or what could be worked towards a reasonable solution, a joint opportunities, I think what you were talking about, that possibility exists. We just haven't gone that far. But from this point forward, we would have an opportunity to work through that and see if something makes sense. Did you want to, okay, for Corey or Rick? Okay.
Yeah, sure. I'm sure, it's obvious everybody here, businesses, the community wants this transit center. You know, I was shocked that this was taking place, with somebody buying the property and it's in escrow and all that. All I ask is that the council keeps informed through Corey as to the process and what's taking place and what's going on. Hopefully everybody can come out happy. That's all I recommend.
I think that there's pretty much a lot known about this whole idea of needing transit. We've looked at other sites here in the community that don't serve well, and the idea that this piece of property was actually identified in the TSP, Transportation System Plan, which was produced with great community involvement. And if anybody remembers, this was held, the biggest part of it was held in the Park and Rec building, where we did pay-stubs and people identified the kinds of needs, and that site was identified as the best place for a transit center. So this has been vetted in the community already. I am confident that knowing our partner ODOT and the great success and the collaboration that we've had, that the right thing is going to get done. The fact that I think I heard Mr. Browning say something about either buying half of it or buying all of it. Well, that's the process. So, to put it in plain language, if the current owner sells it, as I'm trying to understand here, to the people who have it in escrow, then ODOT would then work with that owner to complete the deal.
That's correct.
And I'm encouraged by the fact, Dave, that you publicly stated that your organization has an excellent record of coming to agreement with a property without going to litigation. And that encourages me. We've also heard a couple of the speakers this evening talk about the need directly. And the fact that they know that people have stated that this is something we need to do. So I encourage that we can move forward on this, and everybody will there will be an agreement that satisfies everybody. So that's my comment. Stu?
And I believe is what's before us tonight is the agreement.
Right.
To move forward with the process.
Correct. That's exactly right. So going back to where Corey started, the agreement encompasses all elements of the project, including I'll call it the new addition into the scope of the project and scope and budget, and that's all inclusive in what is in that agreement. Also note, this is a three-party agreement. We will also need county. So far the input we've had from county has been strong, but we will need to finish that loop with them. So again, back to the concept here is that if we
we could get a motion for authority given to those that would sign the agreement. If you'll see on the signature page, and that will allow us to finalize the elements with the among the three parties and make sure we see legal sufficiency test. So there still may be some minor changes. Of course, if there were anything notable, we would, you know, we would expect that those assigned to make sure the council is aware.
So then by signing this, entering into this agreement, we basically give ODOT the city's okay to go out and negotiate and complete all aspects of the project.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Perfect.
Okay. Council, is there any more?
No, as I listen to everybody and I understand the concerns, I think we do need to move ahead and work through the issue to find out the bottom line, where everything is, and that's what we need to know.
Anything else?
Yeah. You made a couple of changes for the strat after the work session that we
There might have been a few very minor changes. Do you remember, Corey, were there a few things?
No, actually, I'm pretty confident that the draft that we brought to the work session, Gary, was the one that you had, that we had discussed at length, and that DOJ had no changes, correct?
Yeah, I think there might have been some very minor administrative changes, like making sure we had the PO box correct, and there might have been, we need to clarify a couple of the either administrative rule numbers or something. They were very, very minor, superficial.
Type. The intent and purpose of the agreement is exactly what we've discussed today.
And that's what I'm aware of. Okay. So if there's no further comments, then council, I would entertain a motion that we approve the Cooperative Improvement Agreement, FFO, US 97, Sun River Interchange to OR31, City of Lapine and Deschutes County.
And it's final. It'd be authorizing you and City Legal Counsel to sign the document and enter into the agreement.
Right.
The final version. The final version. Still may have some changes, some minor changes. But at this point, that's the concept. Sorry to interrupt.
No, that's not. All right.
So moved.
It's been moved. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? It's unanimously approved. Thank you very much. Thanks, Gary. Dave.
Thanks, ODOT, for coming down. Appreciate the partnership.
I would like to say also that this partnership that we've had for a long time with ODOT is bearing fruit. I know that they recognize the needs here. I get to meet with them on a regular basis, and they've always been concerned from day one that I've been in office, and I'm confident, as I said earlier, that this will work out in a very equitable manner for everyone involved. And I think it's a great stride for the city of Lapine and the residents of not only Lapine, but the greater Lapine community. So, thank you. Item number 8 on the agenda, update and timeline for the Lapine Middle School mural project with Arts Central.
If we could maybe tackle this one in conjunction, right. Mr. Mayor. So, Council, what you have in your packets is a timeline from Deborah Allen, who's the interim executive director of Arts Central. And Arts Central and the city are partnering. Again, things get done when you partner on stuff. For a mural project that is going to be on the south-facing side of the Floors and More and Harvest Depot building.
Yes.
Mostly visible driving north on Huntington.
Yes.
I think that's the best way to describe the location. So the city in last fiscal year had budgeted a contribution, matching contribution.
A matching grant.
Yeah.
Or matching money to
the grant. Yeah, matching money to the grant that Arts Central secured. So none of this is new. What this is an update on where the status of the project is and what you'll start to see happening there in the next couple of months. So the mayor, myself, Deborah, and her associate, I forgot her name.
Lacey.
Lacey, thank you.
She's actually the project manager.
Oh, she's the project
manager. She is the project manager.
Excellent. We met probably about a month ago at this point, a few weeks back.
Yes.
And because they had new news, they hired the artist in residence who's going to be facilitating the project in the middle schools and working with the teachers to teach the students about art and then ultimately draw out of them creative and inspiration for the project to reflect Lapine's history and heritage and all these elements that we so cherish. And so at that meeting, we laid out this timeline, and Deborah shared it with us probably a couple weeks ago, and I thought it's time to give the council an update and see what you'll see what will start to happen in August and as we head into September. So do you want to share a little bit about
it? Sure. The site was selected, and I don't see Rex here, but Rex has agreed to allow this to be put on his property. He, Rex the Sewer of Bancor Insurance, owns that building, and it actually turned out to be an ideal location in the sense that it has its brick surface, cinder brick surface, and it's excellent for putting a mural. And so then the idea was to speak to John Truax, who owns the town pump service station, and see if he'd be willing to allow access to that property to get the painting done. And he said sure. So he allowed the demolition of the fence that was there, which was about as ugly a thing as I've known in town, and the Band of Brothers took it down. We cleaned up the property somewhat, and the owners have actually gone back in there and done some cleaning up also. But the idea is that the class will the group of students that will be involved will be I think it's 6th, 7th, and 8th graders at the middle school, and they'll be taught how to paint a mural, and all those steps that are in between. There is a resident artist, and he's quite well known in the state of Oregon. A lot of his work is around, and his name is Paul Bennett. And the timeline here, it lays out when this will all take place. There is some others that ideas around cleaning up the property and maybe putting grass and, you know, making it look a lot better than it looks right now. So I guess really it's a project in motion, and it will probably have a component that wraps the mural around the corner facing west, and how much of it, you know, it's a work in progress. So I take any questions. I do work with Deborah constantly, and we're sharing a lot of information about the size of the wall, etc. But also, I'd like to commend the community. Ace Hardware stepped up to write in-kind paint. Pete Performance is providing the scaffolding and all of that. Vic Russell Construction is providing the safety signs and cones for the students that will be out there. Oh my gosh, there's probably another 3 or 4 that are providing other essential things. I just can't recall them. But that's basically where it is. Target date for completion, the first week in October. And that's pretty firm. So
the final thing I would say is that for not a lot of funds from the city, leveraging more funds from a grant that Arts Central got, we're educating our youth, we're getting them outside, we're getting them to think creatively, and the city and all of its residents and tourists that come through are getting something to have pride in. It might sound cheesy, but there's a lot of public art in Oregon City, which is where I grew up, and there's a mural downtown that actually inspired me when I was younger. That's not a joke. I take a lot of pride in that. So that's a piece of, you know, I think what it's a signal also that Lapine as a city is starting to take pride in some of those smaller things. You know, we've had big battles and big issues, whether it's water and sewer, transportation, but, you know, filling in the lines with some nice color, it helps and goes a long way too. So that's the last thing I'd say on that.
Any questions, council? Anything?
I just wonder what happens if we have some kind of freakish winter come in.
I have been assured that the type of base and all of that by the Art Central people, that this can withstand cold weather and terrible weather. I have to take my time. So maybe it's there for 100 years.
They're able to postpone
and
they have to for a couple days.
Oh, I'm sure fitting the schedule. That's the kind of weather you're talking about?
Yeah, well, both times. Yeah.
Well?
Because what you don't like to see is drive by a mural and see it rolling out. You don't
like
that. Well,
they're going to paint it on the building.
Yeah. But I mean, the paint begins to roll.
Okay. They're very, I know this Paul Bennett is extremely well-known and competent, so, but I think we all share that idea. Anything else? Hearing none, we'll move on to item number 9, appointment to fill Planning Commission vacancy.
So what you have in your packets are an application to be appointed to the Planning Commission from Russell Smith, and then you also have 9B is a written letter from Gloria Fleming, who's the chairman of the Planning Commission, and it reads, at the July 21st, 2016 Planning Commission meeting, the commission motioned by Douglas Ward and seconded by Nora McClung to recommend to the City Council to appoint Russell Smith to the City of Lapine Planning Commission for a term ending December 31st, 2016. There was a roll call vote and the motion was passed unanimously. It's signed by Gloria Fleming, dated on 22. So three applicants had applied for this position. It actually had been open for a couple months due to a resignation on the Planning Commission by Rolando Alonso. And we hadn't gotten any applications for a while, and then all of a sudden we had three. So we took those to the Planning Commission and they interviewed the applicants, and their decision is what I just read to you, which is the motion to recommend the appointment of Russell Smith.
Any discussion, council? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve the recommendation of the Planning Commission of Russell W. Smith.
He's in the audience.
Better known as Russ. I see him hanging out there.
Yeah.
So, is there a motion?
Yeah, I'll make a motion that we put Mr. Smith on the Planning Commission.
Second.
Motion is and second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Excuse me. I will hold that just for a moment, and we'll defer to House Martinez.
Just give me 10 seconds.
You got it. You got it.
We appoint these committees to do our homework, and I appreciate the effort they did in doing our homework. So that's all I wanted to say. I appreciate the doing their job and their recommendation.
Okay, thank you. So, hearing no further discussion, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? It's unanimously approved that you are now on the Planning Commission, Russ.
I'm going to just interject real quick, Mr. Mayor. I apologize to those in the audience and council for the ongoing mic issues that we've had. It's been the definition of intermittent. I cannot put my finger on it. I spoke with the owner of the company that installed the system, and they'll have somebody here next week to do a little more troubleshooting. We thought we figured out a good approach to get rid of the static and have a nice, clear, crystal sound meeting, but obviously that was not foolproof. So anyways, I apologize for enduring the static. Thank you.
I'll just comment to that. You know, I've known of this problem, and it continues for almost 6 years. There's no need to try to convince me that it's going to get any better. You know, I mean, we keep spending money, so somebody needs to be taken to the what is it? The wood, the stocks,
woodshed.
You know,
and
the woodshed working. So anyway, thank you very much, staff. Planning branding initiative final product.
Ashley, can you pull up that PowerPoint, please? And I forgot the clicker, so I'm going to do a little cue move when I want you to move forward. Janet Burton, the Lapine Area Economic Development Manager, who the city helps to fund, and her primary job is to bring trade and sector businesses into the area, but she also is essentially the staff lead for the Lapine Economic Development Board, which is a group of Lapine and Sun River citizens, mostly business owners or elected officials, who participate and are a sounding board and advisory board for how to best bring trade and sector businesses into here. And one of the pieces that they had identified, and it was in a long list of other groups and entities that had identified, that Lapine could use a new refresh, reboot on a brand. Whether you're marketing for the industrial park, whether you're marketing for people to move here and buy homes, or whether you're marketing to tourists to stop in and spend some time and spend some dollars here, it all starts with a brand. You alter that a little bit depending on who your audience is, but they'd identified this need. So I'm gonna, can you go back a little bit? Thank you. Next one, please. Appreciate that. So, as I kind of was alluding to, LED committee, you know, whether it's through LED or through an RDI, you know, community effort, or through the Oregon Rural Development Council forum that we had back in October, where we identified five priorities, and there's been significant progress on all five of those, one of which was a branding and identity process and initiative to create this, and it takes a process, I'll tell you that for sure, and especially to do it right. So what happened was three branding agencies were interviewed, and Mandala Agency out of Bend was chosen to do this process, and essentially it was because during that interview process they best understood the needs, the community, and sort of what Lapine was looking for. So Janet spearheaded this effort. She couldn't make it tonight, but I'm going to go through this presentation. And just so you know, this exact presentation was built and catered for the Lapine Chamber Breakfast next Friday on the 19th, where you'll see me and Janet and others rolling this out and starting to spread the word. So if you go to the next one, Ashley. Thanks. So obviously, for a brand to work, it has to have broad buy-in. And so this wasn't the city saying, we need a new city logo, we're creating something for my business card or for out front of City Hall. It was, how do we look at Lapine, greater Lapine, and create something that has broad input and broad buy-in? And with that, a team was put together that, as you can see, you know, there's representatives from LED, from Mid-State, small businesses, the Chamber, Central Oregon Visitors Association, myself, City Council, Dan Varco, who wears mini hats. So there was lots of people at the table from a broad swath of sectors weighing in on this process, and that's really critical. The other piece that really spurred this happening was that, you know, we didn't just budget necessarily to pay for this whole first phase of creating a brand. Janet had gone out and received a $10,000 grant from Travel Oregon, which is to be used for just this type of a project. And what the city did, council said, hey, we prioritize this. Again, we're going to leverage grant funds. We'll contribute $5,000 for a total of $15,000 to create this brand and to go through this process. So that was the funding mechanism behind it. You go to the next one, Ashley. Thanks. So this process included over 30 in-person interviews that Mandala Agency and Matthew in particular, he's their, the owner of that small firm, conducted. And again, across a wide section of the community, including schools. There was a town hall meeting held on the 3rd, assuming some of the audience were in attendance, I hope. And then finally, they'd sent out an online survey, which had an incredible response rate. 187 folks responded to this survey. So they had firsthand information, they had information from a town hall, and then they had online input into that they could take back and say, okay, what can we draw out of this and find a theme to influence what this brand and identity is going to be? Thanks. So some of the words that they came up with that, that ultimately builds the foundation for the brand are proud, independent, affordable, friendly, small town, beautiful, close, wide open, caring, and future focused. Well, those were interesting. Next one. And then the scaffolding to build up towards the brand and the identity essentially is, you know, this what statement. What is Lapine? And you can't fake this what statement. It's what really is Lapine, and I thought they did a very good job. Lapine is a small frontier town nestled in the foothills of the Cascade Mountains, surrounded by open meadows, lakes, and rivers. Strikingly beautiful and with unparalleled access to the wonders of Central Oregon, Lapine is a community that is truly coming of age. I don't think anyone in this room could argue with that. The next statement is how, you know, what holds that together? And that is that proud, independent, and affordable Lapine is characterized by people being good to each other. Lapine has a deep sense of community and is a place where people go out of their way to help a neighbor and truly care about each other's well-being. Again, I like the way, the direction this is headed. And finally, the why statement, and that's because we choose to live strong. So that is ultimately the sentence, the statement that they felt best embodied Lapine. And meeting with the branding committee and working through this, and the branding committee agreeing and forwarding the process, they said, okay, take that statement, you go back, you work with your creative folks, and come back with some logo ideas and some brand logo ideas. So they did that, and ultimately they came back. We had, had another branding committee meeting, and there were about four logos up there, and some of which included the mountains and the rivers and the, you know, streams and all the good stuff that we do so much enjoy about here. And there was good discussion at the table. And an important point that I want to mention is that, you know, we're not alone. We're not the only small town in Central Oregon that's, or in Oregon, that's near rivers and streams and mountains. And so a logo that is trying to operate among many doesn't quite stand out. So I think what you're probably looking at behind me is what they chose. And what you'll notice is that I don't know how many other logos have pine cone. I mean, it's different. I think it's symbolic in the nature of what that stands for. There's no shortage of pine cones around, that's for sure. So the branding committee chose this logo in two different colors. And ultimately what I'm doing here is talking to the council and bringing you up to speed. You've all been aware of this project as it unfolded over the last couple months, few months, and saying, do we want to embody this and use it as the new city logo as well? It won't, strictly speaking, be the city logo. We want it to obviously be something that represents all Lapine, but you know, the city using it is a good step in the direction of having it get traction and be known as this is Lapine. So that's my update. If you want to scroll through the rest of the pictures, we had two different color renderings, one with a brown pine cone and line, and then the other one just all black. And then they shared some pictures of what this might look like in certain places around town. That's a t-shirt. That's a black t-shirt. You can't see it. You can go back and leave that one up there.
Cheers.
So that's all I have on that. Do you have any questions?
Yes. I'll
go.
Go for it.
Okay. Did you see something?
No, it's, I couldn't tell you.
Okay. I'm excited about this. I like it. I know we've gone through this one and that one, and we have individual ones all over town. But I like this because it's clean, and if being a Colorado Mountain girl, if I were looking for a place to relocate, for me, just seeing the pine cone would tell me that there's mountains and streams and rivers and outdoor things that you love to do. I love the purity of it. I love the lettering. I'm really excited about it. I like it. It's simple. It's simple. And I think that's important too.
Okay. Dennis?
Yeah, sure. You know, I'm a part of this committee and they've been working on it, and I know the city has wanted a branding for since it started, and just the statements alone, you know, if we can work with Park and Rec, work with the chamber, you know, the city will start using this as their logo, you know, maybe we can all come together as one branding community instead of like you're having yours, chamber having theirs. This is a great start, and I think it's a new beginning of the city, and it's wonderful.
Karen?
It's nice and clean.
I began to wonder where my two cones were.
Yeah.
You know, I really like it. I really do. And I think it's attractive. Did I just say that? Okay. So much that another golf course in Bend just kind of already tagged on with it. So I think we better jump on a little bit. And I love the coffee cup. I want a coffee cup. So I know a lot of work going into it. So I think it's.
Thanks, Sue.
That's what I would want to say, too, is I appreciate all the work everyone did that went into this. And I was interviewed, and he did a beautiful job. He was so thorough, and you could just talk to him about everything he would ask. It was such an easy process, and I just appreciate everybody was on the team and everything they've done to come to this.
My input was from the beginning, and I think that if you had all gotten the chance to heard the presentation, Matthew from Mandel really had a handle on what the pine really needed to do to stand out. It had to be different, but it had to be La Pana. And the team worked through that and came up with this simplicity that really spoke a new way about La Pana. And the discussion around all of this was tremendous. And it wasn't just, oh yeah, I like that. We had a couple of people that liked something else. But I too agree that this is simple, it's clean, and all of those words that Kathy said was actually voiced in the meetings that we had when they presented it the first time. I think 10 years now and we've got something that says we're La Pine. I think it will draw comments and input and hopefully new trade and sector business. So that's all I have.
Okay.
I could say one more thing.
Please.
You know, branding initiatives are never easy, no matter where you are. In a small town, a big city, you know, you pick the place, there's going to be people who have different opinions on what that logo should embody, you know, all that. So what I'm really impressed with is the process that Matthew went through to get input from folks across the pine, all over. And I think the end product is something that's timeless, really. You know, it's not something you're going to look back on and say, wow, it looks like it needs an update. I think it's again, clean, crisp, simple, and I personally like it. So.
And on top of that, he went to the people that lived here for 20 years, people that moved in for 1 year. I mean, he took the schools. He took everybody into consideration on this. And I really have to give him a lot of credit for that.
And having heard all that, then the idea is for the council to make a decision about using this as our new city logo. You'll notice there's two pieces to it. And Mandela explained why the advantage of having a brown and a black pine cone, and also envision that it'll be white on a black t-shirt and black on, you know, so it'll be both ways. So having up through this, is there a motion to approve this as presented as the new city logo?
I move.
Moved and seconded. Now we have discussion.
If I may.
Yes, please.
Mr. Public Works Director, your people will be driving in the vehicles that will display this. Where are the vehicles that will display this? And probably coming in more contact as the office staff than the council will. What are your takes on it?
You go first. Well,
I was at that presentation when they proposed the different ideas, and I'll admit I was one of the only ones that didn't like it at first, but it's one of those things that grows on you and you learn to like it, and I took into account all the different opinions and effort that went into it and started liking it myself. I envision La Pine, Oregon on the side of a rig like that with maybe Public Works right below it, just to kind of single us out so they know they can approach us, that we're not just anybody out in the street. I think we'll embrace it well.
I have the exact same thoughts as Jake. It took me a second to like it, but I really like it now. The more I see it on different items, I do really like it.
I like the fact that it's unique. It stands apart from anything else that's out there.
Patty?
Yeah, just the same way that Ashley and Jake have said. I think it's good.
You're the front, you're the front line. Yeah, so, okay. Thank you.
Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? It is unanimously approved as the new city logo. And it will appear on the trucks in the morning.
It's going to be a long night.
I didn't say it in the morning of which day. All right. Thank you very much. Now we're to item number 11, other matters. There are no other matters that were brought up, and we'll entertain public comments. Anybody want to say yay, nay, or... Okay. And I'm sure there will be coffee cups available soon.
Yes.
Public comment.
Yeah. You're going to do everything proper, name, copyright, do everything so somebody down the street can't reproduce it without your written permission, kind of thing.
No, that will not be the case.
Yeah, oh, sure.
That will not be the case.
Really?
That's what was decided by the group. And if you logically think about it, it would be extremely difficult. I mean,
well, can't actually just, you know, the logo is to be used. Is all you want people to use it and duplicate it and send it out. That's how they grow and get used. If you require everyone to come in and get permission and to apply for its use, it wouldn't have much use.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, it depends on how it's used. You can use anything in a nice way. You can also use something in a demeaning or mean, possibly hateful, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't think in that way you'd want it to be used that way.
I think that's that way on anything around us. But Rick is right in the fact that you want to get this out there. It's going to be on economic development. We'll be using this all over. We're going to see literature going out of here with that on it. It'll become part of the advertising and outreach to everybody across the country. So I think it's going to be able. I think it will work without any kind of copyright or trademark.
And I think on a concern such as that, you know, the first phone call is going to come to City Hall, and the staff would be able to reassure the people or take the information, and then, you know, if it's something that needs to be looked into, it can be looked into. But for the most part, I think it'll be okay.
Will there be a downloadable graphic that us business owners can use? And who would we get that graphic from?
As staff?
Yeah, well, are you thinking for, to put it on different items? Or
maybe on my stationery for L&S Gardens, maybe bottom right-hand corner. I can see it as a branding item.
Branding item, sure. Yeah, I mean, when we get the final files from Mandala, I think we'll have those to be able to share. And like Rick said, you know, it's something that it's only going to gain traction and get a sense of notoriety if people use it. You know, the example that I can think of is the circle with the bend letters written inside of it. It's my understanding that that's actually taken from the bottom of the City of Bend logo, and people have just kind of ran with it. But it's emblematic, and people know and recognize it, that it stands for Bend, Oregon. You know, so it's in the nature of a brand that it takes time and it takes wide distribution, and the more it's used, again, I agree, I think the better. So you can call City Hall and we'll see what we can do to help you out.
Okay. Any further? Linda.
Yes, where can we go to purchase coffee cups and t-shirts? I mean, we're ready to buy here. Come on.
I have heard of somebody who is already ready to place an order.
Well, add me to the list.
Order a thousand.
We'll sell. We just approved it tonight, so give it a day.
Tomorrow?
Give it a day.
So there's two pieces to this. Of course, this is the city approving the use of this in the city's functions. There is still the piece out there for economic development. Now, Janet Burton, our economic development director, took this over, and actually it began the focus head from the other parts of the community talking about this, RDI and those other programs that we had. Mm-hmm. So it'll, I don't know to say that she will have control over it. It's a very good question about who will be the keeper of the original document. And I'm getting a sign from our city manager that it'll be the city. So if you want to have a bunch of coffee cups made, call the city. Anyway. No further public comment. We'll have staff comments. Anything, staff?
Couple things. First off, I'll talk about our Public Works Committee and a couple members there that have missed a few, three or four meetings in the last year or so. And it is written in the ordinance that created that group that, you know, missing more than three meetings makes them subject to being removed from that board. I called each of them personally and spoke with them and had good conversations with each of them. And I think one of the difficulties with that committee is that it generally meets every other month. And depending on what's happening in someone's schedule or whether they see the email per se, it might impact whether they attend. And if you miss one, then really you're going about 4 months without that. So one thing, they both expressed to me that they want to stay on the group and that they will not miss future meetings. And I felt that gesture that they wanted to continue to volunteer and contribute to that Public Works Committee, I thought that was genuine, and I think it makes sense to let them continue on that group. One piece that I discussed with them that I think will help is, and I talked with Jake about this as well, is, you know, maybe sending out a monthly little update, just a ping, a check-in. I and Tammy try to do that with the Planning Commission, some months better than others, but it'd be a monthly update, just checking in with them, maybe giving them some bullet points, letting them know if there's a meeting that month or not, and just keeping that communication open a little better. So Jake thought that was a good idea, and so my thought is that we'll let them continue for now and see how that plays out. That's my thought.
Comments, Council? Okay.
Second piece, code enforcement. Jake and I took a tour of the city last week and hit some areas and made some comments to each other about short-term projects and long-term projects, certain properties here and there. I checked out a rooster complaint that I sent a letter on.
I spotted the rooster.
You did spot the rooster. We discovered four goats and two horses, and I didn't count how many hens there were. But, you know, so we investigated that. I took some pictures up in the Cable neighborhood of certain properties with trailers on it. We noticed that the trailers on Hinkle, which we got many comments on, that were just beached on these industrial lots are gone, fortunately. That took some little bit of force, a letter from myself, and I know Rick spoke to the property owner, and so it just took a little time, which is what we asked for. I've already gotten calls back on from three of the letters that went out a week and a half ago and talked with them. My plan is, as the weather's still nice and warm, to keep having some code enforcement letters in rotation. Again, I think all of you are aware that that's not a perfect process. It takes time. But, you know, sending that letter, and actually most of the folks I talked to, they said, oh, we want to clean it up. We're going to work on it. Or, you know, and so I'll check in with you in a month or two. We'll see how the progress is going. I think working with people, obviously, as the first approach is always the best approach. And then depending on where it has to go from there, it can. Those are the two main updates I have right now. I'll think of something in about an hour, but I'll tell you that later.
Well, I would like to hear from our public works director who about his new toy, which I saw out on the street on the way to council tonight. So
it wasn't flashing easy, right? Just never know.
Yes, it does.
Reno Trail is parked on Highway 97, just north of 6th Street, by Opine Realty, the A-frame business right there. It's sitting on the west side of the highway. So if you noticed it, good. If you were going 34, 35, you're good. If you're going 36, it blinked at you. I told you to think about slowing down. So we just got that last week, and good. It's been out in the field today.
Any planned sites?
Plant sites. What I wanted to do on Huntington, just north of Highmart right there, you people to slow down as they come into town. But it was kind of hectic there today. A lot of road work going on in town. That should quiet down by the end of the week, but they're improving a lot of our roads. Chip sealing, Deschutes County. So you can see a lot of roads getting done this week, and we're pretty grateful for that.
Okay. That's it. I'll go to
Ashley. Did you already hand out the registration form?
Yeah, I handed out LLC forms. If you want to go, try to get them back to me sooner rather than later. I think I put a name on each motel room, but it would be nice to put the correct name on each motel room. So, sooner the better. Thanks, guys.
You might look into the idea of a grant for
Dennis. I thought about that as well.
Yeah, you can call them up. And
yeah.
I'm pretty sure there's a first time.
There usually is.
Grant you can apply for. So, council comments?
Well, I have two. I want a cup and a t-shirt. Well, I have boots. And we need to set a date for the town hall tour.
Oh, yeah, thank you for reminding me on that. I'll reach out to Tom Kemper, who I've been in touch with quite a bit the last week or so, and I'll be giving you an update on that soon. And I'll give some dates. At this point, probably late in August, I would say maybe the last week in August, I'll give two or three dates. And I think what we're gonna do is I'll pitch those to all of you, and whichever one's the best, we'll go with. And if someone can't make it or doesn't wanna go, then that's certainly an option. So I'll get those out to you tomorrow.
That was Corey's answer, both of them, except for the, we're putting new ordinance in effect. We're putting the sidewalk, the landscaping, we got the nuisance ordinance. There's more and more all the time here. Are we gonna, like, next year or somewhere down the road, you think you guys, Public Works and Corey can handle it, or is there gonna have to be another process? Just for your opinion right now.
For enforcing ordinances?
Right.
Yeah. We can handle it. We wouldn't be proposing and recommending and talking with council about that, obviously. In terms of the sidewalk ordinance and the nuisance ordinance, which is separate from the sidewalk ordinance, but they're somewhat connected, dealing with frontages and maintaining your property and maintaining things in the public right-of-way, I've already emailed Ann at the chamber if we can have some time at the September breakfast to talk about that. So a big piece of ordinances are getting the word out and doing outreach and education, not just coming in and saying, hey, we have an ordinance, we're enforcing it. They didn't even know they were violating it or that they had certain requirements based on this ordinance. So what I'd like to see is September, we'll be doing that hopefully in front of the chamber breakfast. And then do an additional outreach as well through the winter, gearing up for next spring. That's my plan.
And I talked to you, and to go along with that, of course, the knapweed is outrageously crazy this year. Mm-hmm. It's taller and more than ever, and a lot of this is on city right-of-ways. I talked to you about it. We're going to wait for spring on that, or are we going to try to go ahead and talk to the county, or?
Jake's going to reach out to John Valley, who's I forgot his exact title, vegetation specialist. But he's in charge of spraying for noxious weeds in Deschutes County. So Jake's going to work on talking with him. I don't know at this stage in the season whether you spray to kill full-grown plants, or you spray a pre-emergent in the spring, or there's multiple approaches to deal with that. I don't know the details, but Jake will look into that. I'll talk with John, and he'll also find out how we can work with the county to use some of their equipment, because we've got a small staff. We're focused on the essentials, and I don't see us taking time to certify one of our two Public Works employees in being a noxious weed sprayer, or investing in the equipment. I think we can partner with Deschutes County to help try to get ahead of this, and it's not lost on me that groups among the city are working hard to try to get rid of this, and we'll see what we can do to assist with that.
Okay, great. Carrie?
This is really off the subject of everything, but all day long they've been working on all the roads in the pond. Are they going to touch up everything, or are they just going to do the county roads? Are they going to do any city roads too?
Jake, have you talked to anybody about what the scope of the work they're doing is right now?
I've done a little bit of both from what it looks like. I have talked to them. but it sounds like they got a set plan already. I asked them to take care of some other roads if they could throw them in there for me. It doesn't usually work that way, but I'm glad that they're taking care of some of those roads right now.
Yeah, they chip sealed out in the industrial park. Yep. There were certain areas, I mean, there were certain streets that had 2-3-4-inch gaps that really needed some attention. So they've been hitting most of the spots that I thought really were in need of some repairs, and they've been doing more than I expected. But I haven't been in communication with Chris Doty, the county's public works director, as to what exactly they're going to do.
Okay.
Yep. Thank you.
I'd like to extend an opportunity to our previous interim city manager.
That was just a check to see if I was still here. hey, I would say I think proud of the decision you guys made on the that property that for the transit center, because those kind of things aren't easy. And you know, it's one of those things that the kind of the order of things when folks and my good friend Linda's there. I think you know it's kind of with the laws and the reality, they kind of had to go through certain things. And so there was really no way to make that too much different. I suppose always when you look back, you could change a couple things, but it's just kind of the way the laws and the rules and how you have to move forward. But I think ultimately you made a good decision to move forward on that. And the community is going to be better off. Hopefully we can find a place for these folks that want to develop. And maybe, who knows, maybe they can go into this project. But anyway, that's good. Corey and I have been working on the housing. I know we were there today and been at meetings. And we were there last Wednesday or Tuesday, whatever day it was, with meetings with the county and Housing Works and private developers also. So look for stuff down the road on that. And then working on, hopefully, we're going to get a land sale purchase agreement in industrial park. You know, we've had numerous folks interested in marijuana growing operations, and we've put out several offers, and then we've never got any yet to sign. So that's kind of interesting how that all plays out. So we're trying to flush them further before we spend all the time and effort putting the agreements together. But we think we'll have one, I guess, at some point on that. And
you know, I guess
that's all. But good meeting. I didn't realize we were going to have so many people there.
A lot of them are still here.
Oh, good. I guess I'll get
thank you, Rick. So I will just wrap it up with. I got a letter from the chair of the board of the fire department, and I kind of thought that went to everybody, but I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So the idea that they want to work with the city and clean up their property, and they put in their budget $1,000 to do something, I think that's encouraging. And so that's sort of nice to see that. I'm excited about this mural. I think it's going to be a great addition and a start for the city. The grant that the city put up, the $1,500 for the STEM program, actually resulted in the OSU group that was going to manage it went well. I visited them while see, he'd just get up and leave.
Yeah.
but I did go and visit him, and they were doing things that you wouldn't believe. All the way from heart rate, trajectory type things. Really a lot of science involved, and they must have had about, I'm going to say 10 or 12
I believe they were the teachers, but I think they are a master's program of people that came out. It was quite a nice showing. I think that money went to a good cause, and they had 42 kids sign up for it. So it really turned out well. That's all I have. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. We're adjourned.